You know, Drysdale felt that was all part of the game. You know, a lot of pitchers did. Got away with what we were talking about, but...
Well, let's just quickly go through and tell me a little bit about the transition to the American League. It's, there was a different game back then, you know, as it is now, and, you know, some of your experiences with the Tigers.
The hardest thing for me to adjust to was the umpires. National League, you know, inside protector, and at this time they still had outside protectors. Then. So you had trouble getting the curveball, and you had trouble getting the low outside pitch. The ball that they gave you was the ball was up out over the plate, and the hitters never said much. But being a National League pitcher, I didn't throw the ball there.
So the ball up around the letters, that high?
Around
the letters?
Yeah,
and you got that in the American League.
Yeah, and the hitters wouldn't even say anything. I said, that's a ball, and I get called a strike. Then I make a good pitcher on the low outside part of the plate, you know, and I'd get it, especially with my slider, until they got to know me a little bit, you know, and they knew that's where I was putting the ball. The better umpire is just a matter of learning, you know. In fact, the first 64, I was playing Pepper. I was about to hit Fungos to the outfield, and I was playing Pepper with the Fungo bat. And umpire yelled at me, you know, that you can't play Pepper. And he was in the street clothes. He's standing behind home plate. And I didn't know who it was, who the umpire was, you know. So we had some words. So he came out onto the field, and I said, well, I didn't know who you were yelling at me, and you don't know who I am. So I introduced myself and whatever. I said, no, I know you're not supposed to do that, but I'm going to hit, you know, Fungos or whatever. And so you learn the umpires, you know. You don't want to get them mad at you, but, you know, that you had to learn. So that was part of the transition. Had a good bunch of great guys. I roomed with Norm Cash over there. And Storm and Norman was had come off at 61 year, had a great year, and everybody's expecting, you know, to do the same. But he was good, one of the most underrated ball players that I played with, one of the best all around ball players in the major, Al Kaline. And when I left there to go to Houston in 67, I went up to all the guys and shook hands, but I went to Al and I said, it was a pleasure playing with you for 4 years, over 4 years. He did things on a baseball field that, you know, it went unnoticed by a lot of people in baseball. He had trouble. He had some surgery on his foot, and he was getting 64, 65. But, you know, I didn't see Musial in his prime. I mean, Williams. I saw Musial toward the end, and I saw some of our players, you know, offensively, and I saw Mantle still was pretty good, and the guys were over there. But when you play with someone on a daily basis, you really see how much talent the guy has. And the only thing that a lot of guys say, he could have been more of a team leader, but that just wasn't his type of personality. He was a low-key guy, and that's the way he carried it. Yeah.
66, you guys, you had a good year. You had 8-5 and then 20 saves, and you guys ended up finishing third that year. So you were right in the hunt, if I remember correctly.
We got beat out at the end of the year. I could have strangled McLean. I know Denny a long time. He'd won 20 ball games that year or whatever, and didn't want to pitch the last 2-3 games of the season. And then he didn't understand why I got so mad, is that we had a chance to finish second instead of third.
Okay.
I mean, the prestige, you know, to me. Mm-hmm. And he'd won his 20, and he didn't. In fact, I think Padres, John had to end up pitching. He came over there in 66.
Okay.
And here's a 20-game winner, should have been thrown the last game of the season. It would have made the difference of us finishing second and third. We got beat out by percentage points or by one game.
That's right.
And Denny was his character. One of his favorite sayings is, if I'm lying, may God strike me dead. You know how it thunders and lightnings in Detroit? Uh-huh. When it would lightning, everybody would run from him. Because we figured God was going to get him, you know. He said, very funny, you know. But I'll tell you what, between the lines, he took the ball, he went out there, and he had no fear. He just, you know, you play with a lot of guys that socially you might not get along with as well as you'd like, you know. I don't say Maury Wills was like that, but Maury was put more money in my pocket than anybody in the Koufax or Drysdale along him. You know, I'd say, but Maury put a lot of money in my pocket too. What a catalyst he was.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, you won pennants because of him.
67, that was a great year for the Tigers. They ended up losing out to the Miracle Red Sox team, and you were traded probably about halfway through that season to Houston.
Yeah. We had a big changeover. Then Mayo Smith took over the club, and Johnny Sain was the pitching, and then they changed. I was coming off a real good season, And I got off to a bad start. And like I mentioned before, when you're not through that organization and actually Dressen was more responsible for getting me over there, and Fred Gladding was doing a pretty good job, mm-hmm. and you got new people and new thoughts, and I wasn't doing that good a job. They just said, you know, they might as well trade. I'm getting 33 years old or whatever, and they feel that I might not be throwing as good. So that was the turning point. I wish I could have hung on there, because I think if I would have stayed there in 68, then the expansion 69, I'd have been in better shape uh-huh. to try and make a ball club in 69. I missed it by about 1 year. So being on a 25-man roster in 68 would have given me probably a job in 69 somewhere.
How was it? You had been a player throughout your whole career through the Dodgers and with the Tigers, won some pretty competitive teams and teams that were in the races, and obviously World Series and all. And then you go over to the Astros in ninth place. Was that a big letdown for you personally, or how did you cope with that?
It's the first time that I'd finished on a ball club and finished out of the first division
yeah.
after 8-9 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the season would never end. It's the longest second half season ever. You know, I mean, we battled the Mets out at the end of the season. That was Seaver's first year. Mm-hmm. And we're battling them so we can beat them out of the cellar. I mean, you know, I've never been, you know, in such a low up. The ball club, all on individual efforts. Matthews was over there.
Right.
Joe Morgan was
right.
still over there.
Sonny Staub,
Sonny Jackson, whatever. It gets
Can he
to,
win?
Yeah. It gets to be individual, you know, records. You mm-hmm. lose fact of the team,
uh-huh.
as much as, and I see, you know, I see it in the clubhouse, and in a couple instances there, I've seen Matthews come unglued at a couple of guys because of that, you know. But uh-huh. Hatton was great. He's a nice guy, but he's got Matthews there, and he's hitting him fourth or somewhere, and Eddie's not the player he was in Milwaukee, and he couldn't handle it. It's a lot of pressure having to hit fourth.
Certainly
and
is.
He was hitting pretty good, and his average started. He was leaving a lot of guys on base, and he was getting very upset. And he's having some problems, I think, at home too. And then it got worse. And it wasn't a good ball club, and you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
I came over, did a pretty good job for about the first month or whatever. And at this point now, which I, you know, don't admit I threw, but they say I was throwing spitters then, you know. So, when you lose your fastball and your breaking balls, you know, you're looking for a little bit of an edge. So trying, you know, do a little bit something different. As far as a short relief pitcher, I was probably pretty near the end right mm-hmm. there at 67. 62, I'd hurt my arm, and the number of appearances that I made, and I used to try to get my salary based on, which they don't like to listen to, is how many times that I was available in a 162-game schedule, not how many games that I pitched. And so in some of the seasons, I was up over 115 in 20 games out of 162, mm-hmm. up throwing, ready to go in a ball game, and the other times I did go in. So that number is a lot higher than just your appearances.
Sure.
And so, you know, and they look at that as, I didn't know that stat.
Well, that puts a lot of wear on your arm too, doesn't it?
That's what I mean. So my career probably was about three, four years, you know, shorter
mm-hmm.
Because of that. But like you said, the 8 seasons of trying to win a pennant or being in contention and being there that close, I wouldn't give that up. Nowadays, with the money that they're making, your agent would tell you to give it up.
We were saying on the way down, I think your ERA with the Dodgers was in the three fours, and your overall was a 3.67.
Yeah.
That puts Larry right in the $3 to $4 million range right there.
After the guy said it, after the 59 season, you know, and then winning 14 the next year.
Yeah.
You know, what could you have gotten? You
mm-hmm.
know. Well, that became, when after the 66 season, I had, that's one of the best seasons I'd had.
Yeah.
What the heck, I'm trying to think of the general, Campbell was the general manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I asked for, you know, I thought it was going to be exorbitant amount. You know, I asked for about $75,000. And they said, well, we can't pay you that. And K-Line doesn't make that. I hung up and called K-Line, and I said, so I don't think they're telling the truth. K-Line was making more than that, but they were telling K-Line to tell the writers that. They kept his salary down.
Yeah,
they kept everybody. I mean, they played games, you know, and Norm was my roommate. the same thing happened to him in 61. He had that great year, and they weren't going to pay him 50 because that was more than Al was making at the time. And he says, you know, I mean, you couldn't have, you missed a triple crown. Somebody hit more home runs than something that year. I was 61, Maris now. Yeah, but he, I think, led the league in hitting.
361 average, and I think he had...
well over 100 and something. Yeah, 150
or something like
that. But, I mean, this is what, you know, they did to you. Yeah. So you had a tough time. You don't have the type of negotiation that you have now going that we had then with the reserve class. So, needless to say, didn't make anywhere near the money that you could. But it was relative. The dollar went a long way then.
That's right. The funny thing about that is we were down at Buzzy's about
We interviewed Buzzy about a year ago.
He said what he would do is he would leave contracts on the table for other players.
True.
They weren't the right amount, and he'd walk out of the room for a while.
Purposely,
so they could like look at the papers.
Did it with Farrelly and Howard. Ron told me that.
Yeah.
He said Howard had a great year, and his Emma or his old... Or the secretary would call him out of the office.
That's
He would set the contract a certain way that he knew exactly how it was, so he'd have to do this to turn it or whatever. And then they said he did it with Howard, and it looked like he had a signed contract for Howard for $10,000 or $15,000 less than what you know that he was asking. He says, "Gee, you know, Howard's only making that. I'm asking for too much." He did those things with me. In 1960, he said, "We're going to announce that you signed for $17 million." And I'm back, you know, I says, "I haven't signed anything." He says, "Well, I'm not going to agree to that." He says, "Don't worry about it." He says, we'll get you more than that." What he would do, he would sign everybody. You know, what was left over, he would give to the guy that he thought, you know, was going to get, the most money. And then I win 14 games in 60, and he says, "Well, you didn't have a 1959 year." I says, "Well, who does?" You know. Anyway, I said, "Well, my stock's going up." He says, "Yeah, but I own it." So, I mean, he laughed. He says, "Come back next week and talk." And it was a game with him. So he liked to have fun. But because he had a pretty, open payroll with when we got into the Coliseum, that he could give you a little bit more than anybody else. But, I mean, we weren't in a position to get the money. I think 63 Drysdale and Koufax held out.
Right.
That was the first year that you know, anything like that ever happened. Mm-hmm. 69 was McNally and Messerschmitt
in
the free agencies.
Right.
So, I know the question was asked to Walter O'Malley about if Koufax would have been pitching in 1970, what he'd have to pay him. And Mr. O'Malley said you'd have to make him a part owner, which I believe. Yeah.
So overall, you say pretty much your experience with Buzzy and the hierarchy there, the Dodgers was, if not completely... favorable to you, was at least a decent experience?
Oh, it was favorable. I had you can't be happy about everything. I would have done some things a little bit different in my career, but how I was treated through the Dodger organization, the prestige, wearing a Dodger uniform is, I think the guys that play with the Yankees feel about the same as they do about, the Dodgers. And you're going to have a lot of people that are disappointed and like the way they were treated. I don't say I was treated poor. I wasn't treated poorly with Detroit. I just figured, when I got traded, I wasn't performing. You know, if you felt that they had an obligation to you, then I think some guys were mistaken. I don't think that that's part of the game. You know, they say, well, you came up through the organization. Now, after I get done and I work with some other organizations, I call up and I work six, 7 more years as minor league coordinator for the Dodgers. They hire me back as far as that. 87, let's see, what was it? Yeah, I had some physical injuries, so I ended up with a Achilles operation. I ended up in 89, I had some ulcers, and in 91, I had a hip replacement. So physically, after 87, it was hard for me to put in the season. So I've just done some private teaching. It's too hard to put in the effort that they want.
Uh-huh.
The travel schedule and whatever, and... 38 years, something like that. I figure I like to spend a little time at home here. I like this area, and I like to play golf. And but the memories are good. I don't feel that there's no things that you can say that I was treated this way or that or they should have done this for me. But I don't feel that way about the game. It's too good. It's too good of a game to put bad knocks on.
Right. Who? Manager-wise, you played for Walt Austin, you mentioned Chuck Gresson, Grady Hatton, you mentioned Mayo Smith. Bill Rigney for the short time when you were with the Angels there. Tell us a little bit about those guys and their styles as managers for a player. Were they players, managers? As a pitcher, were they knowledgeable as far as pitching was concerned? Did they depend on other people? What was your take on some of those?
I thought Olsen got better with time. Actually, when I went to work for the Dodgers in 81 and got to know him a little bit better, I actually didn't know him that well, as he wasn't close to his players that way. He was close to his players as far as he protected them. He made his comments like in the newspaper. You did a good job. That's where you got your plaudits. He didn't. He was not the backslapper and all that type of big hugging type of guy. He treated you like a man. If you didn't act like a man, then Koufax and I have an incident where we were late in curfew. You know, now that they laugh at that. You know, and supposedly he banged on my door and lost the diamond out of his 59 World Series ring. So they made a big issue. You know, out of that. But here it is, 7 weeks in Vero Beach. You want to get the season started. And Sandy and I are down in Port St. Lucie getting pizza, and we miss curfew by a half hour. You know, I mean, nowadays, you know. But the issue was made for discipline. And so they made it, you know, and that they felt that, you know, that was good as far as that. But I was mad at the time. I thought it was kind of chicken or whatever. But when you think back about it, you're a grown man, and you know, I should have asked him for time to go out, which I did when I started managing the minor leagues. That's the way I treated my player. It was 10 cents or $50 or $100. Pick up the phone, call me, tell me you're going to be out, and I don't mind. If you want to sneak behind me, you know, and don't do it, and you get caught, it's going to cost you money. So, you know, I did those things as a manager after, so I think back on it, that's what I should have, you know, probably done. So Olsen was, I say, got better.